Good morning, everyone.
We are reading in Book 2, Canto 8, The World of Falsehood. I'm not quite sure where we stopped last time. Perhaps it's at the break on page 227. Before we start this morning, I will tell you that next Sunday we're expecting a visit from the Golden Chain group of the ashram, ex-students of ashram school. They like to come twice a month to Oroville to work, to offer their services. So sometimes they go to Matrimandir and sometimes they go to Bharat Nivas. And recently they've asked if we would like them to come here. So next Sunday they will be coming here. I'm not sure how many people will come, perhaps 15 or 20 people or so they will come. And Helmut has prepared lots of work for them to do when they come. So any of you who would like to join, you're also welcome. I think they start at about 7 or 7.30. Do you know exactly, Helmut?
I think
7. 7. And then they work for a couple of hours or an hour and a half. And then they take breakfast.
Oh, in between.
Yeah, they have a breakfast in between. And then they go on working till 10 o'clock.
They bring their food from the ashram and they ask how many more people are going to.
They do a very nice picnic. So if anybody would like to join who feels like that, Helmut's taking numbers. How many people from here would join? Because we have to let them know how much picnic to bring. And I think it's a very joyful occasion. They enjoy and we enjoy. So we're following King Aswapati in this dreadful journey, descended into the night, and he's even gone further into the world of falsehood, and he has seen there the mother of evil, a terrible distorted picture of our mother Durga, and he sees the sons of evil who are plotting all the catastrophes and terrible things that happen in our world. And I think the last passage that we read is that the way that these sons of evil, how they infiltrate ordinary human beings. And then, I'm reading from the top of page 225, a lying inspiration fell and dark. A new order substitutes for the divine. They usurp the soul, that wonderful psychic being, which is the special gift of human beings. So then, if they succeed, then it says, no longer burns the white spiritual ray, and hushed forever is the secret voice. And then, by the angel of the vigil tower, that angel who is watching and seeing everything that happens in our world, a name is struck from the recording book. Individual soul, its name is crossed out. A flame that sang in heaven sings, quenched and mute. In ruin ends the epic of a soul. This is the tragedy of the inner death, when forfeited is the divine element and only a mind and body live to die. But we read the next section also and stopped at the break on page 227. There it says, none can reach heaven who has not passed through hell. So perhaps we'll start at the top today. Devin, would you begin?
This too, the traveler of the worlds must bear. A warrior in the dateless dual strife, he entered into dumb despairing night, challenging the darkness with his luminous soul, alarming with his steps the threshold gloom. He came into a fierce and dolorous realm, peopled by souls who never had tasted bliss, ignorant like men born blind who know not light. They could equate worst ill with highest good. Virtue was to their eyes a face of sin and evil and misery for their natural state.
Thank you. These poor souls can't tell the difference. They have never known the light. He doesn't tell us how they've come into this state, but how will they get out of it? Is it clear? Anybody would like anything to be explained? Yes. Yes.
So in, as if the soul has not, this is the soul in manifestation who is struggling, or?
Yes, this is the soul in manifestation who perhaps because of some past history and experience has fallen into this lowest realm, and so it has never tasted bliss, and it can't tell the difference between light and darkness, between the right path. So Asvapati wants to change all that, no? That's his mission, that this whole hellish realm should cease to exist. We'll see what he's able to do.
Hmm?
Yes.
Is there a possibility of the lack of psychic discernment?
Patricia asked whether it's possible that human beings lack psychic discernment. Actually, I think the vast majority of human beings lack psychic discernment.
Well, the psychic itself is just not developed, is that not?
Perhaps we could say overshadowed?
Overshadowed, yes.
Hmm? And then imagine a society of such beings. Charlene.
A Gaia administration's penal code, making of grief and pain the common law, decreeing universal joylessness, have changed life into a stoic sacrament and torture into daily festival. An act was passed to chastise happiness. Laughter and pleasure were banned as deadly sins. A questionless mind was ranked as vice content. A dull heart silent apathy as peace. Sleep was not there. Torpor was the sole rest. Death came, but neither respite gave nor end. Always the soul lived on and suffered more.
Thank you. Life just has to be endured. Life has been turned into a stoic sacrament. Only endurance. And torture into a daily festival. They enjoy that kind of thing. Happiness has to be punished. Perhaps some of you have read that book, 1984. That was one of the conditions in that society. Happiness was tried to be suppressed at all. So laughter and pleasure were banned. It means that spontaneous laughter and pleasure, these are movements of the soul, actually. And these demonic realms, they want to banish that kind of spontaneous delight. So a dull heart, silent apathy. If you can just suppress all feelings, don't care, so that's considered peace. Even sleep is such a precious gift, no? That sleep was not there. Torpor was the soul rest, like when you're drugged and unconscious, can't move properly. Death came. There's even a kind of death, but it doesn't give any respite, any relief from that suffering, and it doesn't bring an end to it. The soul is immortal, and it lives on and goes on suffering. I think this is the really terrible thing about hell. Immortality without delight, an eternity of suffering. Would you like to read, Avidya?
Ever he deeper probed that kingdom of pain, around him grew the terror of a world of agony followed by worse agony, and in the terror a great wicked joy, glad of one's own and other's calamity.
Continue.
There thought and life unpunished, the breath a burden and all hope a scourge, the body a field of torment, a mass unease, repose was awaiting between bang and bang.
You can read the next sentence also.
This was the law of things none dreamed to change. A hard, sober heart, a harsh, unsmiling mind, rejected happiness like a cloying sweet. Tranquility was a tedium and enemy. only by suffering life grew colorful. It needed the spice of pain, the salt tears.
Thank you. Cloying, something that's too sweet. Patricia, you'd like to go on?
If one could cease to be, all would be well. Else only fierce sensations gave, a fury of jealousy burning the knob of the heart, a sting of murderous spite and hate and lust, a whispering that lures to the pit, and treachery's stroke through vivid spots on dull aching powers. To watch the drama of infamous, the writhing of creatures under the harrow of doom, and sorrow's tragic gaze into the night, and horror, and the hammering heart of fear, were the ingredients in time's heavy cup that pleased and helped to enjoy its bitter taste. Of such fierce stuff was made up life's long hell. These were the threads of the dark spider's web, in which the soul was caught, quivering and wet. This was religion. This was nature's role.
Thank you. Something to ask, Dom? You wanted to ask something?
Is there such a place like this on Earth?
Perhaps not quite as terrible as this on Earth, but still something like it.
The 1930s in Europe, in many places.
There have been times and places where people had to live like this.
Argentina.
There was a time, huh?
Neo-Nazi government.
Yes.
No, I think it was very rare.
So the thing about these realms, which Aswapati is exploring, is that they are typal. It means there's no evolution, there's no progress. It's just like that. It's a state, a kind of plane of existence. How they have come about, how could it be in the creation, how could this happen? I can't fathom that mystery.
I have a comment.
Yes, Rita.
Mother said, and everything is a demand, and she said, cruelty is the thing the furthest away from the divine. And this is all.
Yes,
cruelty.
This is cruelty. Yes.
And the word nature, because nature has something.
We have another association with nature. Yes. Which line is it, please?
304.
This was religion, this was nature's rule. Yes. Of course, nature, throughout the poem, it's the expression of the supreme conscious force working out things in the world, no? We can say prakriti. So on this terrible plane, this, what he's been describing, this is the way nature expresses itself. So terrible.
I don't know all the exact details of the sequence, but I know that Sri Aurobindo is very opposed to the partition of India, and the result of that partition led to
situations
mass
like
murder. Millions, you're saying now, perhaps even millions of people were killed in that, and that was contemporaneous to, I don't know when this exactly was written, but concept is certainly already there. It's like embedded in the thing, and then.
And he, this is embedded in it because it is part of human nature. And I think I have mentioned before that these passages were written in the late 1930s and the early 1940s when fascist regimes were dominating Europe. And we can be quite sure that all the experiences that are described here, Sri Aurobindo really experienced them. This is not imagination. He went down into this. Some of his sonnets express that. I carry the sorrow of millions in my single breast. Everything awful that was happening all over the world, in China and everywhere, as well as Europe, he'd widened his consciousness so much that he was participating in all these experiences on all these levels. That's why he can tell us about them.
It's beautiful.
And of course, it's still happening because the great transformation has not come about yet. So why has he put this into Savitri? It's like a kind of alert light, no? Know that these things can happen. These things can happen to individuals who, for one reason or another, get so seriously disturbed. It can take over whole society. And it has happened. It's perhaps happened even more in the past. But even today, our world is not at all free of these things.
I'm trying to find a positive note for why. So if the tribal worlds have their influence on us, then this is something that we can work against.
At least we can be aware of the danger and we can ask for protection. And if we see that something of that in people around us or in our society is trying to take over, then we do have a possibility. I mean, that's part of our human work, is to know that and to resist it in whatever way we can. That's really part of our human mission. We don't allow our whole world to be overtaken by these forces. Lorraine?
I, having come from America originally, I see that what's happening in the theater of the governing bodies and the Supreme Court and all these and women speaking out and so on, that there's an attempt, first, to really show it, and on the world theater, you know, because we have the invention to be able to show this to people worldwide and stay with it collectively. Mm. And there's empathy when people can see something. Oh, we're, you know. And then you have a greater choice if you have it in your heart, your heart's open to wanting to progress and have more multicultural love. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So, actually, we are living on a battlefield. No, that's what Sri Aurobindo and Mother tell us. This is Kurukshetra. Here the battle is going on between these forces and the higher forces, between the past and the future, and each of us can take our stand on this battlefield. But we can only do that if there is some awareness. Otherwise, it's actually very easy to be carried away. Very simple.
I recognize this in myself as only fierce sensations give some zest. That's when I wake up from my top and I start becoming kind of an activist. Lasts a while, but then I lose it. It's anger and stuff like this.
Yes.
Question.
Yes, please, Avantika. Speak out so everybody can hear.
I have a question / comment. I wonder whether each of us in our cells, some cells, hold each of the consciousness that he described, the dark consciousness, that is in everybody. Some of the cells hold some of this vibration.
Yes, because actually in our bodies, in the substance of our bodies, we're carrying the whole memory of the universe. And one of the things we have seen earlier on in book two is the way that how has life emerged from material unconsciousness? We are carrying the stamp of all that struggle and what it has meant individually and collectively. The race of beings that wore a human form but haven't yet got a human consciousness, and how then they have behaved. We're carrying that within us. And if for some reason those deeper, lower levels get stimulated, whoops, up it comes. No? The vengefulness and the jealousy and the delight in others' suffering.
The other day I read Mother's Cure for All This. I was reading A.V. Pirani's book on art. And in one section, Mother described, she said she knew many artists in Europe who could produce such exceptional physical beauty in their paintings, etc. But she said often in their private lives they were very ordinary and sometimes even cruel. But she said if you choose moral beauty, you can never be anything except generous and good. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really interesting.
Yes.
That in that part, that is the only thing that will counteract this subconscious, inconscient, dark forces that you were saying.
Because of their ugliness.
The conscious choice of moral beauty.
Mm-hmm.
What you said is also working across, this was religion, this was nature through, she has been also pointed out that religion developed the refinement for human beings, and it got also distorted. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So this refinement, to say yes to it. Yeah?
Shall we read on? So, who's next? Where are we? Lorraine, you would read? You've got the play?
Put myself together again.
Here, line 305.
Yeah, okay. In a fell chapel of inequity, to worship the black, pitiless image of power, kneeling, one must cross hard-hearted stony courts, pavement like a floor of evil. Each stone was a keen edge of ruthless force, and glued with the chilled blood from tortured breasts. The dry, gnarled trees stood up like dying men, stiffened into a pose of agony, and from each window peered an ominous priest, chanting, Te Deums,
yes.
For slaughter's crowning grace, uprooted cities, blasted human homes, burned,
riven.
Bodies, the bombshells massacre. Our enemies are fallen, they say. All who once stayed out will are smitten and dead. How great we are, how merciful art thou. Thus thought they to reach God's impassive throne, and him command whom all their acts opposed, magnifying their deeds, torch his skies, and make him an accomplice of their crimes.
There no relenting
pity could have place, but ruthless strength and iron moves at sway, a dateless sovereignty of terror and gloom. This took the figure of a darkened god, revered by the rack and wretchedness he had made, who held in thrall a miserable world, and helpless hearts nailed to unceasing woe, adored the feet that trampled them into mire.
Thank you, Lorraine. Religion has become like this, no, in certain places, at certain times. We can recognize it.
Syria, the movie.
It was a world of sorrow and of hate. Sorrow with hatred for its lonely joy. Hatred with others' sorrow as its feast. A bitter rictus curled the suffering mouth. A tragic cruelty saw its ominous chance. Hate was the black archangel of that realm. It glowed a somber jewel in the heart, burning the soul with its malignant rays, and wallowed in its fell abysm of might.
Fell,
dreadful, terrible. And it's the second time he's used this word rictus. I think in the previous canto we had it. A rictus is something that looks like a smile, but actually it's just a spasm of the muscles. Maybe a painful spasm.
Moon-like.
Sorry?
Moon-like.
No. No, it's a kind of twisting of the muscles of the face.
It
might look like a smile. Are there? We can have a look as you leave. Our mother has drawn this terrible mask. And she's entitled it, Falsehood is the Suffering of the Lord. Mm. No, this terrible face.
How he makes fell into an adjective.
Fell is an adjective.
First time I've seen that. Huh?
No. Fell is an adjective. A fell is an adjective meaning dreadful.
Oh. I mean, usually it's the past tense of fall.
No. Two completely separate words. So now from page 341. Will you read? Line 341.
His passions, objects seems to be soup. His passions, even objects seem to be soup. For mind overflow into the inanimate that answer with the wickedness is received. Against their used malignant powers, hurt without harm, and strangely, suddenly asleep, appointed as instruments of an unseen doom, or they make themselves a faithful prison bird. When men condemn, wait till the creeping hours, counted by the tolling of an ominous bell, and even an evil environment worse than evil sound. All things were conscious there, and all perverse. In this infernal realm, he dared to press, even in blue, his deepest deep, his cold heart. Perturbed, its tenebrous base dared to contest, its unseen privileged right and absolute force. In night, he plunged to know her dreadful heart. In hell, he sought the root and cause of hell. Its anguish goes open in his own breast. He listened to the clamors of its crowd, of its crowded pain, the heartbeats of its fatal loneliness.
Thank you. So even inanimate objects can absorb these terrible feelings and thoughts and emotions and react on the people around them. And things get worse and worse. An evil environment worsened evil souls. All things were conscious there and all perverse. But Asvapati goes on pressing into this terrible realm. He plunged to know her dreadful heart. What is the heart of all this? In hell, he sought the root and cause of hell. And so he has to experience it. Its anguished gulfs, all that pain opened up in his own breast. He listened to these clamors of its crowded pain and the heartbeats of its fatal loneliness. He did this. Yes, you have done all this. Dead or suffered on.
Especially this. Its anguished gulfs open in his own breast.
Yes. Will you?
The boat was a chill death eternity. In vague tremendous passages of doom, he heard the goblin voice that guides to slay, and faced the enchantments of the demon's side, and traversed the ambush of the opponent's snake. In menacing tracks, in tortured solitude, companionless, he roamed through desolate winds, where the red wolf waits by the fordless stream, and death black eagles scream to the precipice, and met the wounds of they who hunt man's hearts, buying across the veils of destiny. In fruitless battlefields of the abyss, fought shadowy combats in mute Hades depths, assaults of hell, angel and titan strokes, and bore the fierce inner wounds that are slow to heal. A prisoner of a hood magic force, captured and trailed in falsehood little net, and often strangled in the noose of grief, or cast to the green morass of swallowing doubt, or shut into pits of error and despair. He drank her poison draught till none was left. In a world where neither hope nor joy could come, the ordeal is suffered of heaven's absolute reign, yet kept intact his spirit radiant truth. incapable of motion or of force, in matters blank, venial, gold and blind, pinned to the black inertia of our base, he treasured between his hands his flickering soul.
Thank you. Sounds like a series of nightmares, terrible things we might encounter in dreams. But he's taking all this, he met with his soul naked hell. He drank her poison draughts till none was left. This makes us think of Lord Shiva swallowing the poison, holding it in his throat, becoming Milka, swallowing all the poison of the world, something like that. And he kept intact his spirit's radiant truth, even under this ordeal of evil's absolute reign. And there he can't move. He has no strength of any kind. He's imprisoned in matter, in the lower levels of matter, jailed and blind. He's imprisoned and cannot see, pinned, just impaled, held to this black inertia of our base. But still, he's treasuring the light of his soul.
What is the significance of the wolf and the snake?
Yeah, this is quite colourful, hmm? The goblin voice, first of all, in the passages, something that's guiding you, only to misguide you, and then the ambush of the opponent, snake, with a capital S. Snakes, serpents are always embodiments of force, of energy. So this is an opposing energy, a hostile energy. And then these landscapes, these terrible landscapes, these menacing tracts full of a very threatening atmosphere. He's all alone roaming through those desolate ways where the red wolf, in the Vedic imagery, it's the tearer, it's the one who tears you up into pieces, eats you up. This is the red wolf. Red is the vital. I think this is a vital world. This is one of the life worlds. And death's black eagles scream from the precipice. Yeah, he's right there. There's a stream barring his way, a fordless stream. You can't get across it. And there the wolf is waiting. And there the eagles, the black eagles, are attacking.
And ford means?
A ford is a place where you can cross a river, not with a bridge, but going through the water, maybe on rocks. So all these terrible sufferings are described.
And the hounds of Baal means suffering also?
Mm. Yes, hounds are hunting dogs. These are hunting dogs that bring Baal, disaster and misfortune. They are baying. That's the sound that they make. You hear them coming. They're coming to get you. They are hunting you.
But if he used the word fell.
Fell, F-E-L. Which line are you talking about? Sorry?
371.
The felts. Oh yeah, this is from South Africa. No, the open spaces. It would be the fields, yes. Thank you. And of course, in South Africa, they were often battlefields, weren't they?
But it is not a Dutch word?
It's in Afrikaans. It's Dutch, yes. That's why Karen was just giving us the Dutch. She said it would be fields. So let's go on, because in the course of the next page, things do get better. Patty.
What line is 389, right?
Yes.
His being ventured into mindless void, intolerant gulfs that knew not thought nor sense. Thought ceased, sense failed. His soul still saw and knew. In atomic parcelings of the infinite, near to the dumb beginnings of lost self, he felt the curious small futility of the creation of material things. Or, stifled in the inconscient's hollow dusk, he sounded the mystery, dark and bottomless, of the enormous and unmeaning deeps, whence struggling life in a dead universe rose. There, in the stark identity lost by mine, he felt the sealed sense of the insensible world and a mute wisdom in the unknowing night. Into the abysmal secrecy he came, where darkness peers from her mattress, gray and nude, and stood on the last locked subconscious floor, where being slept unconscious of its thoughts and built the world, not knowing what it built.
Thank you. He sounded, this is this word from navigation when you try to find how deep the sea is. So he touches the depths, he finds out how deep it is, comes to the bottom. Yes.
On the journey, Ashwapati, did he ever lose heart? Did he, what about what was he all the time steadfast?
I think there's a moment at the end of Canto 7, if I can find it.
Taking tapestries ready.
There's a moment that something like that, line 590 on page 218, and he realizes the approach alarmed his mind forever dumb of an implacable eternity of pain, inhuman and intolerable. This he must bear, his hope of heaven estranged. He must ever exist without extinction's peace in a slow, suffering time and tortured space, an anguished nothingness, his endless state. A lifeless vacancy was now his breast, and in the place where once was luminous thought, only remained like a pale, motionless ghost, an incapacity for faith and hope, and the dread conviction of a vanquished soul, immortal still, but with its Godhead lost, self lost, and God, and touch of happier world. I think that's the low point. But he endured, stilled the vain terror, bore the smothering coils of agony and affright. Then peace returned, and the soul's sovereign gaze. To the blank horror, a calm light reply. Immutable, undying and unborn, mighty and mute, the Godhead in him woke and faced the pain and danger of the world. He mastered the tides of nature with a look and met with his bare spirit naked hell. So that moment comes, but he's able to overcome it. So now we've come to the last locked subconscious floor. You read, Antara? Page 231. Line 407, there waiting its hour.
Their hour, the future lay unknown. There is the record of the vanished stars. There, in the slumber of the cosmic will, he saw the secret key of nature's change. A light was with him. An invisible hand was laid upon the error and the pain till it became a quivering ecstasy. The shock of sweetness of an arm's embrace. He saw in night the eternal's shadowy veil. New death for a seller at the house of life. In destruction filled creation's hasty pace. New loss as the price of a celestial gain. And hell as a shortcut to heaven's gates. Then in illusion's occult factory, and in the inconscient magic printing house, torn were the formats of the primal night and shattered the stereotypes of ignorance. Alive, breathing a deep spiritual breath, nature expunged her stiff mechanical code and the articles of the bound soul's contract. Falsehood gave back to truth a tortured shape, annulled were the tables of the law of pain. and in their place grew luminous characters.
Thank you. He finds the secret key to nature's chain, and everything changes. Puna.
The skillful penner, penman's unseen finger wrote his swift intuitive calligraphy. Earth's forms were made his divine document. The wisdom in body, mind could not reveal.
We have to read it differently. The wisdom embodied, mind could not reveal.
The wisdom embodied, mind could not reveal. In conscience chased from the world's voiceless breast, transfigured were the fixed schemes of reasoning thought. Arousing consciousness in things inert, he imposed upon dark atom and dumb mass the diamond script of the imperishable, inscribed on the dim heart of fallen things, a paean song of the free infinite and the name, foundation of eternity, and traced on the awake exultant self in the ideographs of the ineffable, the lyrics of the love that waves through time and the mystic volume of the book of bliss. And the message of the superconscient fire.
Thank you. So on this page, Don, he and his, on this page that Poonam just read, he and his, it's not any longer Aswapati, it's the skillful penman, the divine. He imposed upon dark atom and dumb mass the diamond script of the imperishable.
The talk about at the bottom of the inconscient, she gave a blow and then was something else on the other side.
It was a kind of eruption, yeah. Cast her upwell with into a completely new atmosphere, quivering with the seeds of a new world.
Yeah, just what you're talking, you can see that in the lines, and the lyric of love that waits through time, the mystic volume of the book of bliss. I mean, obviously, Aswapati does not think of that.
Anyway, he's experiencing it.
He's experiencing it, but it's being done.
It's being done by this this other consciousness.
Yeah.
A paean is a song of triumph, of victory. Many voices and instruments proclaiming victory.
Ideograms.
I think that's what Chinese writing used to be. They are images that don't convey necessarily spoken words, but ideas.
Yeah.
Ideograms or ideographs. I think we can use both. Any kind of symbol is like that. Shobindo symbol, mother symbol, father symbol. Yes. Because he saw that key, it's like it opens a door, the golden key, it opens up something that couldn't be seen or understood before. He saw the secret key of nature's change, how nature can be transformed. And it is transformed. Once he's seen that key, everything has a different meaning. All these terrible things get transformed. He uses this interesting image at the bottom of page 211. No? Of course, first come these words that he saw in night, just a shadowy veil of the eternal. New death, just for a cellar, a basement in the house of life. In destruction, felt creation's hasty pace. In order for new creations to come, things have to get destroyed or changed. New loss as the price of a celestial gain. He's winning a wonderful prize, no? And hell as a shortcut to heaven's gates. I think Mother has spoken about this too. For ourselves, for example, if you're suffering terrible pain, she said, we always try to distract ourselves or cure ourselves. But if we can really enter into the part of the pain, it can get changed, it can get transformed. So something like that. And he feels the shock of sweetness of an arm's embrace. He feels the divine presence. And then everything's changed, even the cells of the body. No?
Going a little bit farther in that very section that you're just reading, illusions called factory, and the unconscious magic printing house, and that then there's the shattering of the stereotypes of ignorance. It's as if there were a manufacturing unit.
And they have templates, no? And everything gets built on this template. I remember reading the most amazing science fiction story decades and decades ago about somebody who worked in such a factory. And he saw that the whole thing is nonsense and should change. And so he worked his way up to the top to find out, who is the person or who can be approached to change all this. But then he found out that, actually all the instructions are coming from below. He has to go right down to the bottom. And only when he got to the bottom, then he could very easily change it himself, and everything changed all the way up. And I think that represents an amazing truth. So that's what Aswapati does, but I have to say, it's not for the whole universe. This experience is a personal experience. He hasn't yet found that solution that he's looking for the whole of humanity, for the whole world. That comes later. But this is a big step forward. Yes?
What he said, that Mother and Sri Aurobindo did the sadhana for the whole world.
Yes.
Night,
yes. That, but this comes in book three. No?
Yes.
For now, he's having this experience himself. So he knows it's possible. This is the truth. Falsehood gives back to truth its shape. No? But still he has to go on with his quest. It's not complete yet. Paula, would you read the last bit? Then life be pure. It's line 447. 232. Just the last lines of the canto.
Then life be pure. In the corporeal frame, the infernal gleam died and could slay no more. Hell split across its huge, abrupt facade as if a magic building were undone. Night opened and vanished like a gulf of dream. Into being's gap, scooped out as empty space in which she had filled the place of absent God. There poured a wide, intimate, and blissful dawn. Healed were all things that time's torn heart had made, and sorrow could live no more in nature's breast. Division ceased to be, for God was there. The soul lit the conscious body with its ray. Matter and spirit mingle and were one.
I always think that it's a pity when Mother came to this canto with Huta, they were doing the illustrations and they came to canto 8 and Mother said, I've been through all this, faced all this. I don't want to make images to inflict on the mind of humanity. So she skipped canto 8. So unfortunately, we don't have her reading of these wonderful last lines. I feel as if, she should have made a picture and she should have read some of these last lines.
I think there is a picture we can put here. It's blissful dawn. It's the gatherings we have on the 21st, on the 28th.
Yes.
These are the blissful dawn. It means that matter and spirit mingled and were one.
Okay. It's one of Huta's paintings?
No.
No, it's just an image of this, the blissful.
The image might fit very well in these last 4 lines.
Yes.
The image that comes into my mind is Picasso's Guernica.
Is the what?
Picasso's Guernica.
Guernica. Yeah, that represents the whole canto 8.
Painting of Picasso? Guernica?
Yes. that represents this world of Canto 8, no? All that torture and suffering.
I saw a movie last night on television that depicted it very well.
Yes? Depicted this world.
Yeah.
Oh, why did you watch that?
Which movie?
The Last Witch Slayer. And it goes down, Vin Diesel, the hero, goes down into the pit and faces the mother of the witches, you know, the worst.
And she can do the transformation and everything. So that's a good place to stop. Thanks to Sri Aurobindo.